This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. All
right, guys, what is up? We're live for episode number 92 of the Before the Train Wreck series, coming up on that big number 100. I'm joined today with doctor, economist, PhD extraordinaire, Aaron Cleary. What's up, brother?
Did I get a PhD? Did you promote me recently?
I promoted you because I think that you deserve one with all of the books that you've put out that should be selling a lot more.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Aaron's going to be on for a bit today. He's a little bit under the weather, so we're gonna try to get a good half hour, 45 minutes out of him. Then what I'll do is I'll switch to taking call-ins from you guys, and I'll let him go because maybe he's got the Rona. I don't know. Are you feeling sick today, or like what's going on there?
No, I got 12 hours sleep, and I thought I was going to be good, and just something's not right. So
12 hours sleep.
Yeah. Yeah,
How do you sleep 12 hours, man? I haven't done that.
I don't know. It's just something. It when your body tells you like something's wrong, that's what I'm getting from my body, and it's okay. Like, yeah, I don't normally sleep 12 hours, and I think I'm coming down with something, so I'm gonna take it easy today and
all chill right. out and relax. Well, you can tap out a little earlier then. I'm gonna drop the link here to the YouTubes. If you guys are watching this on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, just do me a solid. Come click that and come watch it over on YouTube. It just helps me out with the algorithms. And give that like button a big fat smash. So, Aaron, how many books have you put out? Because this is, I don't know, what is this, like the 10th or something?
Yeah, it's around there. I have like maybe 8 or 9 real legit books. And then I have some books that was just a compendium or a compilation of my best blog posts. I don't consider those books. There's 3 of those out there. But yeah, that's we're coming up on 10. Yeah. If not 10, it's 9 or 8. Yeah.
Cool. So, what was the motivation behind the Book of Numbers?
It was economics. And, I know you honorarily gave me my PhD in economics. I appreciate that from Ryerson University.
You're welcome.
But yeah, the main thing was economics where, if you look at it, the vast majority of current and historical economic production and innovation and creation was by men. And I had a very simple question like, well, if we take away the number one thing that incentivizes men to work, which would be pretty attractive women, what would be the economic ramifications? And furthermore, and more specifically on the individual level, is men spend the majority of their time, energy, and resources. It's the ultimate economic question. They pursue it chasing women. And I said, okay, given today, the environment and women's interest in marriage or children and all that other stuff, not to mention some statistics about how successful the average man can expect to be, is men essentially spending their entire lives worth the pursuit of women? Like, is this, so I did the first cost benefit analysis on the pursuit of women, and that's what I wanted to do. And the ramifications are huge. And everyone's like kind of tongue-in-cheek, you're like, oh look, he did a ROI on women, how cute is that? I'm like, no, there's some larger global, I do mean global, economic consequences that if frankly women are fat, mean, disagreeable, you are tanking, you're pouring like sugar or salt into the gas tank of the economic engine of the world. And men are just not going to produce as much as they would have had they been guaranteed through societal norms and convention, a wife and children. And so that was the larger economic. And right now, as I think everybody knows, it's kind of an interesting, wow, how edgy. And like, no, there's some consequences where if all of a sudden, you know, what accounted for 90% of real GDP, and I will say this, I'll state this, nearly 100% of all technological innovation, men, what happens if they shut down? You know, if they have no incentive and they decide to like, yeah, I'll just stay at home or I'll be a neat or something like that. So that's what prompted me to write this book. Is it's an economic analysis that it's also a question I pose to men, like, hey, is this worth your time?
Mm-hmm. Long story short, it really isn't, though.
Yeah, yes. We don't have to read through it. Right. Yeah, there we go. And good night, everybody. Good night.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think we already have the answer to this. I mean, it's not the best use of a man's time to throw a lot of time, effort, money, and resources. But the book itself breaks down why and the underlying notion behind that. It's like the foundation of all of that, so you can get the mechanics of it. I think men, generally speaking, are more rational, deductive, logical problem solvers. So the Book of Numbers deals with all the elements that lead up to. It's really not a good use of your time if you throw a lot of time, effort, and resources at this, right?
Right. And I think everybody knows. I mean, we kind of like, ha, 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 it's negative. And everyone says, what's the ROI? Is it even positive? And so I think we all understand that. But also what I wanted to achieve with this book was doing a breakdown of the statistical analyses. And like, look, here are some hard numbers. And some of them are within an error of range. I'm not saying these are like, you know, precise. It's a social science, so there's always room for error. But I think two things. One, to give men, both old and young, like some numbers, like, look, if you're going to go and gamble in this house, here are your statistics, here are your odds. And the other thing, for guys like you, me, you know, old timers, Terrence Pop, who've gone through hell, to look at it and say, is there something wrong with me? Did I do something wrong? And I'd like to, you know, put this out there, that book, saying, no, it ain't there, unless you're like a jerk or there's something wrong with you, actually genuinely wrong with you. But for most men, no, it's not your fault. And so it's to deliver a bit of sanity to men out there who have gone through hell, who have gone through the, you know, trials and tribulations of dating Western women in general, to say, like, look, no, the numbers are on your side and it doesn't solve the problem. I mean, June Cleavers are not going to be mass produced anytime soon, but at least you know it wasn't your fault. And so there's an element of forgiveness that I like to promote that book with.
Yeah, there's I mean, you went through my book and I collected some data on the success rates of long-term relationships and marriages. And one of the things I came across in a study was, I think it was something like 3% of couples after 8 years are living in a state of like bliss or obsession, right, for one another. And I believe that the data was something like 12 or 13%, something like about 12.5%, were still living in a state of love for one another. The rest, right, of them weren't.
Right.
It's just not like that old fairy tale that you think that you're going to sign up for when you're watching Disney and Gilligan's Island, when they're all fawning over the girls and all that stuff. That's not the reality of the world in the way that things usually pan out. I mean, you can have a good experience, but you need all of these things to fall in place to make that happen. The way that you wrote the book, though, I noticed that when you kind of put it together, you were talking about this from the perspective of the average Joe. Why did you bring it down to the average Joe level? Like, why did it have to be like the average guy?
Because of applicability. I know you, me, other people that tune in were probably on the right side of the bell distribution curve, but I want it to be applicable to your average American Western male. The other,
what does that avatar look like? Is that like a guy that works a 9-to-5 job?
Yeah. Rhinestone, you know, Rhinestone.
Okay. Okay. Like a Rhinestone kind of guy. All right.
No, Ryan, I'm just busting his balls. No, you're, and it's to be, you bring up a good point, because no, the average guy is not us. Not to swing my dick around, but frankly, no, the average guy is not me. It's not you. This is to be the average guy, so it'd be very applicable. The other problem that I ran into, Richard, was like to run scenarios and run statistics, I had to say, like, okay, we need a subject. We need a test subject. And so I'm going to run with average Joe 5. And so a lot of these statistical analyses were done like, okay, here's this guy. He's an average looking guy, average income. What does the average man look to get? Now, interestingly enough, I do have the model. I could tweak it like, okay, let's say you're a 9, or let's say you have this type of income. I haven't programmed height into it because frankly, it's intangible to program into it. But that was the reason why I focused on the average. Another example is a lot of people would say I define success as happily married. Well, a lot of guys don't want to get married, but that has been the traditional metric by which we would consider success. So there were, in order to do some analyses and crunch some real numbers, I had to make some assumptions that would not apply to everyone. But it was the average guy looking to get married and be happily married till death do him part. And I know that's idealistic and it's not the entire case, but I thought that would be the most applicable and universal and relatable when I did that analysis.
Mm. Did you come across any surprises yourself when you're writing this book? Like anything that kind of blew you away when you're putting it all together?
Not really, because I'm jaded and I'm cynical and I don't have a heart, but it was worse than I thought it would be. I mean, and I even went to my actuary, because if you didn't know, I had an actuary to like calculate my figures and double check my math and like do some, especially with a cross correlation between different traits and all that. I would go to him like, did I miss a decimal point? Mm-hmm. Like it was worse than I thought. But it just reconfirmed everything I experienced. Like for example, there are 3 guys out there now who have done, kind of like a tree node, where they've done online dating, and I forget, you know, the 3 different analyses were done, and it was something like, okay, 10,000 swipes right, mm-hmm. and then how many got matches, and it immediately goes to less than 10%, and then out of the 10% that matched, what percent responded back, and what percent and out of, I think it was 16,000, a guy had 3 in-person dates.
And was that the guy that did that infographic?
Yeah. And yeah, he's not okay. The only one. There's 3 of them out there. And this, the data I had at the point in time, and I'm sure somebody would, there's other men out there who probably doing the same thing, but there were 3 guys. One in particular, I think was a statistician, and he kept pretty good numbers as well. Mm-hmm. And that was what was shocking to me, where you're swiping all the time on online dating, and out of 16,000, you get 3 dates, and Lord knows that's not going to lead to anything else. You know, it's not going to be your wife or anything. And then also related to that, another thing that I was shocked with is the average man. Do you know what the average man spends on online dating? Time-wise,
Time per day?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to say a couple hours a day, probably.
90 minutes a day.
90 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, you got other things to do, guys. And for such a low rate of return, where it's nothing, it's like you might as well, Troy Francis, go out and meet these girls in public. So that was another shocking thing. Is like,
where does that data come from? Was that something that Tinder published or Bumble or something?
No, it was a news article. So Lord knows what the methodology was. It's the data we have. So if we get better data, I could do it. But they estimated men are spending like 85 minutes and women are spending 90 minutes a day on online dating. Of course, women are pursuing that for validation and ego feeding, but men are wasting. I cannot emphasize that. You are wasting an hour and a half a day, 10% of your waking hours, trying to do online dating. It's just, it's pointless. It's useless.
Yeah. And you know, your typical reward is going to be somebody that looks nothing like their pictures. Usually 10 to 20% heavier than their pictures.
Right.
And quite unpleasant often with a feminist degree. That's probably going to hate the patriarchy, right?
Right. And I don't know about you, but I got some younger buddies, and maybe not so younger buddies, but they're still out there dating, and they're, you know, and I didn't believe it. Like, it can't be that bad. And then also my buddy Dre or Fred or my buddy Chad Elkins, they'll send me these dating profiles of these gals. Mm-hmm. And I know this is not your average dating profile, but the fact these profiles exist and in such numbers that are so delusional, like mother of three, swipe left if you have a even the ones like it's been more than one where baby on the way. It's like,
oh yeah,
what really?
Yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see them. I mean,
oh yeah, no, you post them, yeah.
People send them to me all the time, and like I only post about 10% of them. Like I get a lot. Like there's a lot coming through. So those are just the ones that people send to me. You're not picking from the best of the best anymore. This is, the flip side of the token. There's a lot of weak ass beta men too that you know really aren't spoiled for choice either.
Right. Well, and I always try to have like this intellectual honesty about me and like, okay, look, the internet is a very fine net and we can judge, you know, there's always crazy people out there. And you say, all right, is it just because the internet now catches these crazy ladies? But then again, as a social scientist of sorts, should we be seeing like a bunch of June Cleavers then of the equal amounts? Like, okay, if we're going to go Bell distribution off to the left of degenerate, worthless pieces of crap, where it's like mom to be, child on the way, student loan debt, tattoos, nose piercing, and all that other stuff. Well, should there be like, you know, a svelte, nice, good Christian girl or Amish girl and looking to, you know, engineering major or something like that? And there is not that commensurate high quality women as well. So, you know, again, it's a very fine net and you like, oh, is it, you know, I think we're just pulling up the worst. And obviously we would say, look at this crazy, you know, like that's going to go to the forefront. But the lack of quality women as a counter and opposite to all these bad ones is an indication to me like how bad things are. I don't know. Show me a girl who's like, hey, I love guns and I love Jesus. And by the way, I drink whiskey. You know, like I haven't seen that dating profile yet. But by gosh, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of literally expecting mother to be, by the way, 6 feet tall, da da da, ba da ba, ba da ba. It's like, wow. So it's very telling. And the numbers I have in my book are kind of bearing that out.
Yeah. I'm sorry we don't have better news for you tonight, guys, but the Book of Numbers analyzes it in such a way that you just can't ignore it. Who is this book made for? And, you know, it's available on Amazon. You've got it as a print, Kindle, and Audible now as well, too, right?
Correct, yeah.
Who is this book for? Like, who should be reading this? And by the way, guys, the link for this is pinned in the Amazon bookstore and all my videos. So even if you don't click through on this video after I'm done with it, it's there. It's one of my recommended reads for sure.
It's basically for two groups of men. Women can always read my stuff. I'd rather just bang my head against the wall because they're not going to listen. It's sad. It's true. But women don't want to listen to what I have to say. So it's like, okay, so it's for men.
Don't worry. They don't listen to me either.
Yeah. So the one group, and ideally this is who it gets to, is to younger men. And by younger, I mean under 20. Before you commit to a woman, or before you even get vested or emotionally like, oh, I got to find a girl. Like, and I know all your genetics and biology is screaming at you to go and find a girl and fall in love and have I get that, all right? But this is a sober awakening. It literally is a slap across the face for younger men. Like, look, here are the numbers. And I think men are a little bit more receptive to hard financial or statistical numbers. So that is who it's for. It's like, look, before you go and you start getting some gray hair down here, save yourself the fret energy. Even in your book, you said, you know, a fuck is a unit of currency. Like before you give a fuck or concern or care or money or resources or time, anything, please read this book so you know what you're going into. The other group of men would be for men who have gone through hell. And I think that's nearly every man because the dating experience has not been acceptable. It's not acceptable at all. I'd like to say that's my opinion, but no, it's not fun. It's I would even say traumatic. I think some men are suffering from that. And then you're like, what did I do wrong? What is wrong with me? And if you look at the numbers here, you're going to realize, wow, there's nothing wrong with me. It was this much of a lopsided Herculean uphill battle for me to even try in the first place. So it's it's not an excuse. Like, you still have to work and put forth your energy and effort. But the second group of men would be those of you obviously divorced, obviously those of you who are like frustrated and tired and beat. We're just about to throw in the towel. Read this book, and then it won't solve the problem. It ain't going to make every girl a thin, redheaded, big boobied, long haired girl who all major in chemical engineering. But
you
it will
think for redheads, don't you?
I love redheads. Is there any other? What's wrong? What's wrong?
I'm just not a fan of redheads. Like, I'll take blondes, brunettes, redheads. You can have them, Cap.
Right. I'm not discriminatory. I mean, if good looking blonde shows up, it's just, you know, if you want to kick a redhead out of your bed,
I've just heard you say, you know, redhead a few times now, you know, like, not even just this cast.
I'm sorry you don't have an appreciation. That's all right.
No, that's okay. You can have sloppy seconds. It's all right. I'll send them your way. So you said earlier that it's unacceptable. So what would make dating acceptable in your view? Or women today?
Well, it's a long laundry list, but frankly, if women honored their word, if they started acting like equals, I think the biggest thing I have against my dating experiences in the past and what I witnessed with my my clients is women saying, I will show up, and then they don't. I think the flaking and the lying, I think that would be the biggest improvement women could do. Or if they don't want to go out with the guy, just say you don't want to go out with the guy and you're not interested. I think women reaching for their effing wallets would be a nice little, you know, treat. And that did happen. I don't know, maybe back in your day in the 90s, I have to give my hat and tip my hat to the Gen X gals, because they would reach for their wallet occasionally, and they did make an effort. But then towards the later years of my dating career, man, you might as well have gotten some pliers to pull teeth to get these girls to reach for their wallet. And then also just, it sounds idealistic, but can you girls conversate? If you're just going to be an NPC and sit there and wait for the man to entertain, like, I don't know how many dates you went through where you were like trying to entertain and trying to be funny and witty only because you didn't know any better and you should have just ended the date. But I think, you know, the guy is also a separate sentient entity. And maybe if you'd like to go on the date, you girls could bring more to the table than just sitting there and like amuse me. And for God's sake, you know, it's a long shot, but maybe you girls are educated about current events, or you have an opinion, or you know a little bit about philosophy, so that the guy can, you're not just this. I've literally had, like, hang on, a raptor. This is a raptor's tooth. A friend of mine, a fan, sent me the raptor's tooth, a dinosaur. I've had more interesting conversations with this raptor tooth than I have most of the girls I dated, because the raptor tooth is actually interesting and has a history in it. The girls that, when, you know, a guy takes all the effort and energy, takes on all the risks, goes up, asks the girls out, faces rejection, which should be par for the course. And then you say yes. And then you just show up and you don't bring anything to the table. It's like, So I'd like women to talk.
You don't want to hear about their social justice causes or their modeling career on Instagram?
Well, thankfully, I haven't dated that recently. So I, Lord knows, but I do remember in the olden days where there were times, and I should have just like picked the girl up, and even before I made the right turn onto the highway, so like, okay, you're just going to sit here and suck away my time. I should have turned around, dropped her back off. And that would be something ideal, but we might as well be asking for platinum bars to be falling out of the sky by that point.
Yeah. I can't disagree with a lot of that. It's, you know, it's tough too. I mean, the only thing that I would challenge on that a little bit would probably be like the expectation that you're expecting to have a deep, interesting conversation. I mean, you're not going to discuss solving cold fusion or something like that when you're out on a date with a chick. It's just not going to happen. But I was talking to somebody about that earlier today, actually. I got a bunch of super chats here. Let me just kind of rip through these. How are you feeling, by the way? Because I know that you said that you didn't think.
All right. I'm good. Yeah. I'm feeling a little bit better now that we're going. It just, it's weird. It's like the internet feeds my soul.
It feeds the anger.
Yeah.
But angry Cappy is always the best Cappy.
I wish I could get angry. I don't have the energy to be angry. Right
now. I don't know. Let's see if we can piss you off tonight. So Aaron uses data to excuse his racism and misogyny. Yeah, is this a friend of yours?
Yeah, it's a friend of mine, unfortunately. It's a charitable affirmative action friend, you know. Nobody likes Juan. You'd like him. If you follow him on Instagram, he's in San Francisco and he takes pictures of all the it's sad, actually, but he basically has a photo journal where he'll take pictures of homeless people and people defecating in the streets. And it's really sad and tragic. But no, Juan's a good dad. He's got some kids. He takes them out hiking. He spends time with his children. And his psycho ex is no longer part of the family. But yeah, Juan's a good guy. He's a mechanic, too. He's straight up aces.
Super chat there, no comment. Thank you for that. Steve says, love this guy. Sounds like I have a new book to read. Thanks, Rich. Yeah, definitely read it, Steve. I think you'll like it. It's a nice accompaniment to the Unplugged Alpha. Aaron was talking about this with me a few weeks ago, actually, but his is about the analyzing. Mine's really just like a dive into the red pill to show you as much as possible in 200 pages.
Yours is execution as well, I'd say. I mean, not to say you didn't have a philosophical aspect, but it's a hell of a book. It's very instructional.
Thank you. Ben says, Cappy looking for a bailout from Rich. Another one of your friends?
Yeah, no. With friends like this, who needs pedophiles? yeah, he's another buddy. Because I'm trying to get my sales up this month so I get a payout. So that when my house goes to final financing, I can have the lowest mortgage possible. I can bring a lot of cash in. And charitably and kindly, with lots of insults and daggers, my fans, my readership, my followers are all very charitably, kindly donating money to me. And they're buying my books. But now they're all saying that I need a bailout and I'm a real banker now. And I've made it very clear. It's to buy my books, and I will take your free money, but no, there's no real Cappy bailout.
The sequence of books that you've put out, like one of my favorites is still the Bachelor Pad, you know, the mm-hmm. Bachelor Pad economics book. It's I don't know who recommended it to me, but I was just kind of getting started on this a number of years ago, and somebody said, you know, you got to read this book, and I read it, and I didn't have any inclination before to do like a book review or talk about a book or an author. And then I did. And then somebody said, hey, Cappy mentioned you the other day in his video. I didn't even know you had a YouTube channel. And then that's how we connected. But I thought that was another great book as well. So
I remember when someone said, because I was in Tucson, Arizona, one of my favorite hikes, Sabino Canyon in Tucson, Arizona. And it was like 3-4 years ago, I think, when you probably reviewed it.
Before.
And someone said, hey, you know, Rich Cooper. I'm like, who's this Rich Cooper guy? And you did the review. And I remember because I was about to go hike up the canyon. I saw it on my phone. I'm like, oh, hey, who's this guy? Oh, he's pretty cool. But yeah, no, I do remember that. That was really nice when you did that. Yeah.
That's what happens when Top Gun ain't pissed off.
I had my sunglasses on when I was on with Rolo. Because I had my eyes dilated because I had an eye exam and everyone was calling me Top Gun and Tom Cruise and all
aviators.
Aviators. Yeah.
Rich, would you live in the East and get married? I don't see any reason to get married ever again. It's kind of a dumb idea, especially if you've been through the grinder once. I mean, there's nothing in it for you. You can get involved with women. I just don't see the point in marriage. Live in the East. Sure. It's better than living here. I mean, I've never lived in the East, you know, full disclosure, but it sure as hell looks better than living in the West.
What's the temperature up there right now? Because we're like -4 Fahrenheit. What are you guys?
Minus fucking 12 or so Celsius. It's cold as balls. I went out for a walk today. It was cold.
Yeah.
Do you think that this book of numbers changes at all in different parts of the world? Like if you have somebody read this in, I don't know, Eastern European country or Saudi Arabia or Australia?
Yeah, well, I would say it would apply to Western culture in general. It is U.S. data, so I will provide that caveat. But I think it would be applicable to any Anglosphere, First World, Western nation. It would probably start to lose its efficacy if we went to Eastern Oriental nations, Japan, even if it's first world, because I do believe a lot of this is cultural. So, it would, you know, if you're in Zimbabwe, this would not apply to you. If you're in the Philippines, this would not apply to you. But for most of the listening audience, it would apply to first world Western nations.
In your view, what's a better use of a man's time rather than chasing women?
Oh, Christ. Anything?
Like, are we talking anything? Like watching grass grow, or maybe molasses falling? Well, on a cold winter day?
I mean, I hate, you know, and it's like, not that, that I'm. Bad? It's that bad. Yeah, I mean, I remember it. I went through it. There's obviously a huge opportunity costs, and you go through it in your book, and I summarize it to the same conclusion last chapter of my book, and that is, you know, pursue yourself. Your skills, your trades, the value of an hour of your labor up. I would also say there's intellectual pursuits, downloading podcasts, studying on your own, hobbies, riding motorcycles, you know, spending time with your friends, you know, spending time with your family. You know, my folks are still alive, and I'm kind of like, I ought to spend more time with my mom, my dad before they pass away. My grandma is still alive, 94 years old. God bless her. And I would love to spend time with her, but, you know, Corona thing and all that. There's just so much more. And I think, you know, you and I are in our 40s, but to any younger guy listening, I mean, all you have to do is ask yourself this question. All right, look, was all this time and effort and energy worth investing in women, worrying, asking out, fretting, frying, all that? Was that worth it? And it's you know, if anything, I'm kicking myself in the shins. Like, how did I waste so much time or concern, even forget money or time, just concern or worry about gals? And I'm not saying go MGTOW or anything like that, but you're going to die, and there is a lot of other stuff you ought to be doing. And so, working out, I love hiking, motorcycle, whatever your thing is. Now, you know, is jerking off the porn and playing video games, I guess it's a higher rate of return because you're not going to be tortured. I guess you're not going to get divorced and have half your assets. So sadly, that's how low a hurdle it is right now, is girls can't even be porn or video games or you know, Coke or Cheetos. But
all the guys that are all about semen retention now are all freaking out. Ah, he said, go jerk off.
But and it's sad because
I had these guys last night on an AMA that, you know, that I did on Instagram. This guy's going, what do you think of NoFap and semen retention? And I just keep going back to, show me 5, 10 successful men that have put a dent in the universe that have bragged incessantly about semen retention and not fapping.
Right.
Show me.
Yeah, I know. But says it may sound, fapping, at least you got a rate of return out of that. I mean, I'm just saying.
There's an ROI on that.
You know, the girl on the internet you're jerking off to doesn't sue you for half your assets and enslave you for alimony. I'm sad. I wish I was even being tongue in cheek. I can't, because no, it's just such a huge risk. Yeah.
You know, guys like Terrence Pop have some interesting stories about mm-hmm. stuff in life. And, you know, some people get a little offended and bent out of shape. But, hey, you know, that's the experience that he had. There's a guy here asking about your book on Book Repository. I don't know what that is. Is it available there? Or why don't you just buy it on Amazon?
Well, a lot of people overseas, if you're not in the United States, are like, you know.
I have a solution for you. There's a site called Book Depository. Okay. Not repository, but Book Depository, that you should be able to get the book on. Mine's available anywhere in the world on Book Depository. So I don't know if that's what he means, but it should show up there pretty soon.
Yeah, I think Jorge is probably, that may be because he's probably in a, I presume, South American country or a Latino country, and maybe they don't have the distribution there. But it's an audio book, so yeah. I mean, if you want, you can get audio, that should work.
Do you sell your books on your website too, or you just sell them through Amazon?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I got. Well, I link to it. Okay. Links to Amazon.
No, I mean, like, can they just buy it, you know, directly from you or anything like that?
No. I didn't have time to set that up. Like Vox Day, he with his Castilla Publishing, and there's a lot of guys who do that, where they publish their own books and you could sell it and they keep the percentage. I just don't have the time. you know, I want to bang them out, get them out, ship. And you know what? I know everyone doesn't like Amazon or anything, but at least they deliver, you know, they're a good platform. They've worked with me so far for the past 10 years.
Yeah. I got another super here from Classified Chappie. Says Rich and Aaron are the best red pill content creators of all time. Thank you for the insights. Well, thank you.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
This is a true story.
Yes.
But his anger is familiar, encouraging to do better.
That's Mexi Mike. You can ignore him. He's another Latino guy. You
don't another friend of yours. Okay. Hey, Rich, my name's Raf. You never say the name. Raf. There you go. I said it for you. How's that? Lucky. All right. No. There's one other question here. No, that was a book repository one. I'm going to get the link to call in because Aaron's not going to stay for the show. I mean, you're welcome to stay as long as you want.
I'll stick around. I think as long as I'm sitting still and not doing anything, I'll be all right. So I can stick around for a
little bit. Okay. So I'll put the call in link here. If you have a question, preferably on tonight's topic, but any question, you know, young, old, man, woman, bring anything to the table. Just make sure you got a good connection. Use headphones just so you got decent audio. I mean, these things have built-in microphones in them, so it's always helpful. So you can click that and come on and join us and ask a question if you want. Here's a super here from one of my community guys. Jerry says $5 super chat minimum here, guys. That is right. Minimum.
Is it $5 minimum?
I don't know. You can throw whatever you want. By the way, guys, if you're a channel member or if you've just joined the channel membership, I figured out how to create my recurring Zoom link finally. So on the community tab of my channel, I do Zoom Q&As every other Monday for my community group. So I'm posting the same link for people on the tier 2 and higher. So it's open for Q&A. You can join us on the Zoom show after this and ask whatever question you want. It's, you know, it's fully open. It's a private show. It's not public on the YouTubes. What else? Thanks, Aaron. Just finished Worthless. I heard that was a good book. I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, it's for younger people. I don't know if you need it unless you're planning to go to college, but nope. It was just warning. I don't know if you knew this, there was this education bubble and people were majoring in dumb crap and going into a lot of debt for it. But that was the book written 10 years ago, warning people about worthless degrees. So it makes a good gift to a younger nephew or niece or somebody who's like, you know, in high school and you want to make sure they don't ruin their life financially by majoring in the wrong crap. That's a book they can get.
Let me ask you a question. So if the ROI is so low and it's not really a good use of a man's time, I mean, I always tell guys in their 20s, I always have guys call in on these shows or ask questions and they're younger and they're like, I've got a girlfriend or I'm living with a girl that's 4 years older than I am and I'm 24. And it's like, oh, fuck, here we go. Why aren't you listening to me? I always tell guys, don't get into long-term monogamous, live with a chick type of relationships in their 20s. Like, what's your view on that? Like, is there a time where they might want to consider chasing some women, maybe in their 30s and their 40s?
Well, it's not an issue of chasing. It's whether the right one comes along. Yeah, it's whether the right one comes along and where you are in your life. The girl I've been with now, I threw in the towel. I was dating several girls at the time, my current girlfriend included. And it's just this one gal who like, maybe, you know, and just, you know, ghosted me and didn't see her for like 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden she's banging at my door at 3 a.m. because her friend found out that I wasn't going to like pursue that. Mm-hmm. And she was banging her ex-boyfriend. The point is she's banging at my door. You know, I'm yelling at her. It's late at night. And she, you know, like, well, I'm never going to, you know, I knew you were a player and da, 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 da. And this is a girl who's like banging some other guy. I'm like, well, don't worry about it. I never want to sleep with you again. And she punches me. And I'm like, why am I doing this? And then I had the girlfriend I got now who was nice, you know, not drop dead gorgeous, but good looking enough. Mm-hmm. And she has a career. Has her act together and she would show up on time and she would make food. And I think after
men
a while,
men are hard to please, are we? Feed us and F us.
God almighty. Right? Well, and that was another thing. This gal's like, you just like that. She knew who I was because I was a whore, Richard. I was dating her. I was like, you just like that girl because she cooks for you and treats you nice. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine that.
What's the problem, right? Give it a try sometime, sweetheart.
Yeah, but inevitably, I just you run on energy. And if you got the right gal there at that point in time, it's like, cool, you know, just, but I hate to say it, but she's not the number one thing in my life. I mean, I guess my life is my own life, and that's the number one thing. But it was kind of a, like, I'm going to go this way. Do you want to come with? She is a great gal. She's a great, wonderful woman. But I could see it where you tap out, and you either have a girl that you want to get serious with or not. Mm-hmm. And you just go on and live your life. But, you know, the days of going to a nightclub, or I am never swiping on an effing dating app. I'm never going on a dating app. That's over. Mm-hmm. And so I can understand where men just like throw in the towel, they're done, and maybe they settle down. But that presumes there's a high quality woman there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to break down on that. I was thinking about this a few days ago about putting something in depth together, you know, for guys in their teens, 20s, 30s, you know, minimum, to kind of at least give them a little bit of a roadmap and in greater depth, you know, beyond like a 10-minute video. But yeah, the chasing a tail is not a good idea. I got a couple of guys here in the waiting area. I'll bring you on first, Chris, so just give me a second. Again, if you guys want to hop on, I'm probably going to stay on till about 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. So that's roughly 50 minutes. So if you have a question, click the link, join now. I'll get you on, young, old, man, woman, I don't care. Bring your question. You want to challenge something we're talking about, entirely up to you. Chris, you're up, bro. What's happening?
Hey, man? Guys, how we doing?
Good.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Rich. Yeah, absolutely. Cappy, what's going on? How you feeling?
Low under the weather. So yeah, I don't know what it is. I'll tell you this. I'm going to go pick up the GF. I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to be like Rich. I'm just going to get myself. I got my cheaters and my old man tea. I'm going to have some tea and I'm going to.
Good boy. Here pretty soon. Atta boy.
Right on. Appreciate you staying with us. Yeah. So right now, I mean, Rich, I was on last week, and just a quick refresher. So I'm 2.5 months out of a, you know, about 2.5 year relationship, you know, newly red pilled, reading a lot of books, doing the work. So I kind of find myself in sort of a crossroads or like a pick your poison sort of situation right now. So, I mean, frankly, you know, in being complete honesty, like I've got one-itis, like I know it, I feel it, I'm fully aware of it. So, you know, I know that the prescription for that is spinning plates, getting out there, meeting more women, getting under a different girl, right? The problem with that I'm finding is I'm just not clicking with a lot of them, or I'm not finding girls that I'm really into. I think I'd probably rate myself on a great day, 7, 6.5, somewhere in there. So definitely some, still some work to do, and obviously attracting 5s, 5.5, 6s, that sort of thing. But so I guess my question is more, where is, when you talk about from an ROI perspective or time best spent, is it continuing to spin plates to ward off that one-itis? Is it better time spent not spending money going out on dates and dating these girls and just having to kind of get through the one-itis? What's, you know, as far as time best spent, what are your thoughts on that?
I have a question. So you have one-itis. So how old are you and why do you have one-itis for this chick? Like, why is she so special?
So I'm 20. I just turned 29 about a week ago. So, yeah, so there's no reason. It's a lot of brainwashing, a lot of blue pill conditioning. You know, like I said, I think I mentioned last week, it was betatization, 1,000 concessions. You see all the shitty decorations behind me that are hers and not mine. I'm still in the relationship house or apartment, so to speak, until the end of this month. But
this is the one that you got the dog with, right?
Yeah, he's right here on the couch next to me. I'm keeping him, by the way. So that's a W for me. But so, yeah, I mean, you know, I can rationalize it. That's the thing that's kind of giving me trouble, is I'm able to rationalize it. And I'm actually going through dangerous personalities right now. And I'm just ticking off those boxes, just like, oh my, like on right on down the line. Right. But it's still that feeling and that weird, like, pit in your stomach about she's moving and she's going to meet other guys. So I'm still in that process, I think, of detoxing.
What do you think, Aaron? I got some thoughts on this.
I understand, because men are programmed to want women, and that's the girl and genetic and all that. And so I'm being a hypocrite when I provide this harsh critique or insight. But usually people who have one-itis have nothing else going on in their life, and they're using the woman And women do this too, but they're using somebody else to give them value. And Chris, I'd say, dude, man, we've all been there. We all had, like, you're in love, this is the girl, blah, blah, blah. You have got to realize there's other stuff going on in your life. And it is your job as a man to have something going on in your life that whether a woman is present or not, you don't care. And most of the one-itis I see are coming from, and you don't look at, I'm just giving you an example, something to think about inside, but are like these nerdy loser, like just nobodies who are like, I need the girl. It's like, well, to be actually honest, for women, what do you bring to the table? And these guys have nothing else but somebody else, namely women, to give them value. And so I would, you know, it's hard to give up, especially if you fell in love. And I understand the human condition, and we'll beat that out of everybody sooner or later. But do you have anything else going on? Like, you should not wake up. Oh my God. Your first thought should not be, oh my God, Amy or whatever her name is. What's Amy doing? When I wake up, my first is like, oh, I gotta get to work. I'm like, oh geez, I got in here. I got something to do. It is not love her to death, but it's not about my girlfriend. And so that's what I would say is, you're 29. You're not that old. You have to have something else going on in life. And, one-itis is once you find your core and who you are and what you want to be, that'll go away and you will never have one-itis again. But you know, I guess we all go through it, but that's what I recommend is looking at your core and yourself and what point and purpose you have in life, that is not dependent on other people.
Let me ask this question, Chris. So why do you think she bounced on you?
I mean, a lot of it was, it's kind of what, you know, Kathy mentioned. It was, I put her on this pedestal and made her the central focus and didn't do a good job of drawing boundaries. And it was constantly not trying to upset her or make her unhappy, trying to reason with logic. And if there were problems, you know, I think like I mentioned maybe before, every fight was the same. It was, I have a problem. Here's what it is. Let's fix it. Then the tears start coming and the crying and the victim playing and all that sort of BPD stuff. And then I would, you know, give in and then make up, go to bed, that whole thing. So,
it's a rule. I don't tolerate crying. That's a childish action. No, I'm being deadly serious. If women want to be equals and all, like, no, you will convey your thoughts using the English language. So I understand what the problem is, but there's no crying. I don't tolerate it. It's true.
Yeah.
Children cry.
What would make you a 10, Chris? Cause I mean, you rated yourself pretty low.
You know, I think I've still, so just to your point, Aaron. So yeah, I've got some good stuff going on, right? So I'm an amateur musician. I'm going to try to get to a point. I'm in New York. So when things open up a little bit better, I'm going to get it to a point where I'm trying to play some gigs here and there, or at least at the very least do some open mics. I've got my very first powerlifting competition coming up this Saturday that I'm pumped for. You know, I still think I've got about 15 or so pounds to lose or so to get to that kind of, the body fat percentage where I want to be. But I also, you know, I'm struggling with my job right now, and I've got one and I'm thankful for it. I'm in sales, but my particular vertical is in like the sports ticketing technology. So obviously they've taken a huge hit over the last year or so. Have been going on interviews and have gotten to final rounds multiple times, and it just hasn't kind of broken through. So there's a lot of monotony in my day to day. You know, the dog is great, but just the majority of my time is spent inside, kind of, you know, doing my day to day office kind of gig. So not to mention my biggest area of focus, and I think the biggest problem I've had in any relationship, I've been sort of serial monogamous all throughout my 20s. I had kind of three major relationships. And so I would always push, you know, other relationships by the wayside, especially ones with buddies and guys and things like that. So the fact that I don't really have really that close knit tribe, that's something I'm really working on. So if I take a full inventory of everything, and then, you know, I've got some debt that I really want to try to get out of, and, you know, being an expensive city like New York, not making quite the sales money that I want to be making, you know, so okay. It's okay, all those so things kind of rolling into one.
Okay, yeah. So let me stop you there, because I mean, what I'm hearing is taking ownership and here's a list of things that I need to do, right? Which is awesome. I mean, I'll never have this conversation with a woman where she'll sit down and be like, here's the 10 things I need to do to become a better version of myself, right? So that's great. I'm talking to a blue-pilled alpha, right? You're a musician, you're a power lifter, you know, you take ownership for your life. You obviously see that you have some opportunities to level up. I would not get into another monogamous relationship with a chick for a long time at this stage, because if you do and you don't fix like the fucking firmware that's in your operating system, you're just going to fall back into the exact same position that you're in today when you go through the process of beta-tization through 1,000 concessions. Have you read a lot of the books that I've recommended? Like, have you read my book? Have you read Rollo's work? Have you?
Yeah, I've been through yours twice. I started Rational Male again for the second time. I read Dr. Shanti's book twice. I've gone through a bunch of them. So it's like you mentioned, though, it's really drinking out of a fire hose, right? It's having to go through a lot and really just, I mean, I'm not listening to music during the day with headphones. I'm listening to old BTTs or Rollo stuff and that sort of thing. So I'm really trying to be a sponge and kind of soak it all in. It's just about applying it.
What percentage of your waking hours are you spending on chasing the girls?
I spend a good amount of my day on the apps for sure. That's my main, you know, sourcing mechanism as far as that goes. You know, I'm kind of in tune with a lot of stuff that Myron talks about just because we're really close in age, and he's talking about, you know, being in sales, I really understand this idea of volume and a pipeline with anything, like whether it's
looking for
jobs, like it's a sports ticketing technology to big Fortune 500 companies.
What does that make you like? Does that put you in the top 5% of income earners in New York?
No, 20? Not quite. If I was at plan, if I was doing, you know, my total OTE earnings, base plus commission at 100% plan, then yeah, that put me right around like 160, 170 for New York. Yeah. But again, my industry's been crushed this year. So I'm looking for new gigs. I'm looking to be closer to that like 200 range all in, but it's just, you know,
you can make a lot of money in sales. It's just, you got to sell high ticket items, right? You got to sell
totally. Like, it's SaaS, right? It's cars, software,
yachts, whatever, something, right?
Or like big box software is what I'm into. So
look, you just have to push through the bullshit. It's probably, you've gone through all the material now and you've consumed it. It's just applying it, but spending less time trying to get the girls and figuring them out, and more so figuring yourself out. Like, what is your purpose in life? Like, what are you supposed to be doing? Because at 29, you're going to be 39 before you fucking know it. And then you're going to be fucking 49. You're going to be like, holy shit, that was 20 years. Like, yeah, you're going to be like us, right? Sitting here talking to some other guy at some other point. So like, get to the business of working on, you know, turning Chris into the best version of himself, and less of, you know, how do I get the girls? How do I get over the one-itis? You'll get over the one-itis when you're spoiled for choice. Like, when you see yourself on your purpose and you're doing something of some impact, you're not going to be thinking about Amy or whatever the fuck her name was, right? You're going to be thinking about, well, I got a date lined up on Friday and I probably have two lined up on Saturday and I'm kind of tired, so I should probably cancel on one because my plate's full, and then I'll decide what I'm going to do on Monday, sort of thing, right? Like, that's what a man that's spoiled for choice is going to be thinking about. She'll be a distant memory for you, and you're going to put up with a lot less crap going forward now that you know all this stuff, because when you see, you know, the crybaby tears or the borderline personality, or she brings daddy issues to the table, or she's covered from head to toe in tats or some bullshit like that, like she's mutilated her body, you're just going to spin her as a plate and keep her arm's length. She's going to text you one day and be like, you know, I don't think this is going where I think it should be going, Chris, so we probably shouldn't see each other, and just be like, all right, cool, you know, good luck with your life, and that's it. And you just move on. Or she might just come back and be like, wait, hold on a sec. Don't go anywhere yet. I want to talk to you about that, right? And you'll be like, oh, fuck. You know, right. This chick's got a genuine desire for me, right? She's covered from head to toe in tats and has daddy issues and 3 or 4 red flags, but she's pretty crazy and I got nothing else going on Tuesday night, so let's bring her over. And that way, you're the man that you want to be, right? You can do what you want when you want. That's what the whole mental point of origin concept is. Cool?
Absolutely.
Double down, man. Just, you know, work on your thing. You'll be fine.
Right on.
All right.
Thanks, dude. Guys.
See ya.
See ya, Chris.
How you doing, Cap? You want to stick around or you want to pop
off? Give me another one. I still got at least half. Look, here's the thing about being sick. You know the philosophy of being sick?
Tell us.
well, you're gonna feel like crap no matter where you are. So I might as well be here. I mean, I at least got half an hour before I gotta go pick up the GF. So if I feel like crap here or feel like crap in the car, it doesn't really matter. So
nonstop Dre's asking me how I feel about you beating dogs.
I don't beat dogs.
That's I heard you yelling at dogs the other day. That was
yeah, I yell at the dog. That dog was dumber. That dog needs and it did. It did get punishment. But yes, I am not a dog beater. I am pro dog. I love dogs, but dogs do need discipline. And you can ignore Dre. He's just a black guy. So
okay, got it. Would enjoy calling in, but I live in a cabin in the woods. Is everyone okay? And potential bad audio and video. I want to give guys some hope potentially. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate the super. I think we have a question about economics from Muhammad. Let me grab him.
I might know a thing or two about that.
Yeah, let's see if you can help him out. Got a lot of dudes in the waiting area tonight. It's a real sausage festival. We got any ladies that are going to call in tonight? Oh, hang on, Muhammad. Oh, there you go. Hey, Muhammad. Hang on, I'm going to mute you for a sec. I'm going to mute you again. Don't take yourself off mute. Listen to me. You've got something playing in the background that's recycling the audio. So turn off whatever that is, please.
Let's try that again.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I just.
Are you hearing my audio go back through, Aaron?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me twice?
No, but can you hear me twice? No.
Yeah, I do hear you twice.
Muhammad Scott.
Hear myself twice.
Okay. Muhammad, I'm going to pull you out, man. You got to fix that. Can't be doing the show like that. See if you can get that sorted out and then send me a DM. Let me see who's here in the private chat. Let's get somebody new on. We got Kevin here. He looks like a new face. Kevin, I'm going to pull you in here. Oh, wait. No, sorry. I got Alan that was waiting longer. Alan, I'm going to pull you in. There you go. The shirtless dude.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep. What's shaking?
Can you hear me all right? Hey, I just want to ask a question about having a father figure. So my father's deployed right now. My mother's taking care of me. And I want a strong masculine role model to look up to, while I'm still in high school and all that. And I was wondering what I could do to fix that. If there's something I'm not sure what to do.
What do you need to fix? What's the problem?
Yeah.
You said your dad's away on deployment. What's he doing?
Getting
some bad guys.
Yeah, he's getting some bad guys. So basically, whenever my dad goes on deployment, my mom comes and stays with us, take care of us, separated. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, I just don't have a strong male role model, and I feel myself, kind of slip from masculinity, stuff like that. And I was wondering if there
I don't know, dude. You're sitting outside with your shirt off. You seem like a pretty masculine dude to me, like you don't really care.
Yeah, I mean,
how old are you?
I just need to talk about it in the book. I'm 17.
Okay. And what are you looking for exactly? Like, you want some guy to come over and pick you up and throw you around or beat you up or something? Like, what are you looking for?
No, I just notice whenever my father leaves, I kind of lose discipline, lack focus on my goals in life, stuff like that, and I just don't like where I see myself right now.
Okay, so
here's the thing. My role model was John McClane. Okay, now I was going to save terrorists or kill terrorists in Nakatomi Plaza and be the hero. You're looking the wrong way for a role model. Because I think especially most young men today are going to have to raise themselves. And it's not a role model or somebody, if you want a role model, go watch Steve McQueen movies or, worship the great Lord and our Savior, Bruce Willis. But in the end, it's, I was 17 and I made a decision. I was going to be a whiny little bitch. And I was going to go and do my own thing and make my own money. And that's what it is. And sometimes you just got to. You got to raise yourself, and it's not that hard. You'll have your own role model. You'll form your own self, just merely supporting yourself and surviving. You'll get the hard school of knocks, which is going to teach you more than any role model could. But as long as you don't get a girl pregnant, don't major in stupid crap, and don't commit no crimes, you'll do fine. And you'll have, and it's not that hard to figure it out. So when you get older, there might be some more esoteric, existential questions like what is the point and purpose of life, blah 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 blah, But, you know, as a 17-year-old, you're a little bitch and you live with your mom, okay? Now, when you're 18, you don't live with mom. Okay, now you're a man. And that alone right there, that trial and tribulation of paying your own rent and supporting yourself, that's going to give you your own male role model without it being a codified entity. But I would recommend Bruce Willis as a role model and Ronald Reagan. Steve McQueen's pretty cool too, but no, just you don't need a role model. You just need to support yourself, which is coming at the age of 18.
Do you do anything with like combat sports? You know, you work out at a dojo or anything like that?
Yeah, I go to UFC gym. Me and my brother do jiu-jitsu,
good.
Muay Thai, a bunch of martial arts and stuff like that.
Good.
And I do have your book, Rich, halfway through right now. It's pretty
awesome.
Good.
I hope you enjoy it. Do me a solid and leave a nice review on Amazon when you're done too. Yeah. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. Don't worry. The old man's going to be back. Don't let your mom feminize you or try to enmesh you or anything like that. Just do your own thing. Keep walking around with your shirt off and, you know, be the man that you want to be. All right.
And ride motorcycles.
Ride motorcycles. Oh. Motorcycles are dope.
My dad loves riding motorcycles. We go every weekend.
Attaboy. All right. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right.
Let's see who we got here with the background. We got Rafi.
Rafi, yeah, he's
Rafi,
a regular. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Is he your guy? What's up, Rafi? Hello, Richie. Can you hear me? You're a little low. Can you speak up a little bit?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Very low.
Okay, hello, Richie. Nice to talk to you. Aaron, nice to talk to you.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him. Yeah, I'm just turning it up. Rafi, you can yell into the microphone.
Yeah, like, but speak really loud.
Okay, my question is, in the West, do you think that marriage is actually dead now for men?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no, it's a stupid idea.
That's not even a debate. I no. The
next question.
What was that, Rafi?
There's no room to maneuver at all. No man should ever get
married. No, there's room to maneuver, but never get married. I don't know how clear that can be. There's no advantage at all. There is only disadvantage to getting married. And I'm generally a pro-nuclear family guy. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, men and women should be together. But the way the laws are, at least in the West, in the United States, at least speaking, there is no benefit to a man getting married. And you can get everything you want out of marriage by not getting married. So it's like, should I take a hammer and smash my toe? No, you shouldn't. Should I shoot my dick off? No, you shouldn't. Should I get married? No, you shouldn't. It's not even, it's such a laughable joke. That's what I guess.
It's utterly freaking absurd, dude. Like, I have a chapter in my book about why smart men don't marry. Have you read my book?
Yes, I have. I read your book. It's a very good book.
Yeah, read that chapter again and again and again, because everybody has an idealistic notion of marriage still. A lot of guys are still romantically overinvested in the idea of finding the one, and she's going to support, you know, his mission and be by his side and give him access to reliable sex that's going to be crazy for the rest of his life, and, you know, bear him beautiful children that will be obedient and never spaz out or end up in the back of a cop car. It doesn't work like that, man. Like, there's a lot of work that needs to go down. I've said this before. I'm planning on putting out a course this year, because I get this question so often. How do I, one, get a long-term relationship? And two, how do I find good wife stock? And it's really hard, and it's a lot more work than what you think. I'm going to lay out all the cheat codes that I have on this, and I'm just going to put it all in a course. So look for that in the future. But there's really a lot to unpack with this. Did you have a second question? I think in the private chat, you said you had a follow-up to it.
Well, I want to, the rules also apply to cohabitation as well. When it comes to cohabitation, you also believe that men,
you should not be cohabitating with a chick unless you're going to be with her on a long-term basis, more specifically to have kids. How old are you?
I'm 38 at the moment.
38?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've been with somebody for quite a while now, and I'm going to get married at some point. But I'm very cautious about it.
What do you think, Aaron?
I'm not against it. I mean, he's 38. I mean, it's everybody's life, but you know, I think Ryan Stone and Rolo, I think we're kind of the, you know, a lot of people give us, you know, oh, you got a girl, you're married, essentially. I'm not against women. I'm not against finding the right gal. And Rafi, if you got a gal you've been with for quite some time, I assume, unless you're, you know, she's mean and you have no self-respect, I think maybe things are working out well. So I'm not against having a long-term relationship, but God, oh Christ, mighty, don't get married. There's just no damn reason for it. None.
Are you looking to have kids? Is that what you're driving at?
Yes. Cause I'm getting older now and I hope to get, maybe have one son, but,
how old's your girlfriend?
She's 31 at the moment.
She's how old? 31.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't need to get married to have kids. I mean, if that's what you want to do, if you want to have a son, just make sure she's a, you know, she's going to be a good mother and you're not wifing up somebody that's going to be a train wreck, right?
Yeah. You never know what they really like until you actually marry them, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, they always say the woman you divorce is never the same woman that you marry, and women always reserve the right to change their mind at any given time. So, I mean, 5 years' time from now, she could be a totally different person, right? You know, depending on how things go in that relationship. That's why it's really important to manage the frame of a relationship in an LTR, especially if you're living with her. Look at Aaron. He doesn't take any crying whatsoever.
No, I don't. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but you know, it's like, no. Use words. So let's...
All right, guys. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Rafi. Good to see you.
Got a super here from Elijah. He says, dating advice for 20s. I have a girl wanting a long-term relationship. I'm 20, own apartment, working in plants, and moving into real estate. Plan to flip houses. What do I always say? Don't get into a long-term relationship in your 20s. What do people do? Hey, Rich, should I get into a long-term relationship? I'm 20. You have the answer. Don't do it. Ben, I'm going to pull you in. I think I've seen you waiting there for a bit. Let's see how your audio is.
I got one more, and then I got to go because I'm feeling horrible right now.
All right, no problem.
Not to offend Ben, but hey, Ben, how you doing?
Hey, how are you doing, Cappy? Sorry if my audio is bad. I live out in what we would call the sticks in southern Texas.
No, you're good, man. Loud and clear. Fire away. What's your question?
It's not really a question. I want to give men some hope.
All right, let's hear about the hope.
But they need to wait. I'm 38. I've been married before. I was married for 8 years, was engaged before. That engagement ended because of her family. But there are some good women out there, and maybe I'm biased because I live in a very red area in terms of politics, but There's some good women out there.
Yeah, we're not saying that there aren't. It's just that you're going to have to dig through a lot of dirt to find gold, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, I'm 38. And it took me 38 years to find somebody that was what I would consider halfway decent.
How long have you been dating her?
About 5 months now.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you're still in the early stages, the honeymoon phases. I mean, there's going to be stuff that's going to pop up at some point when you apply some serious stress to the relationship. I think that Sean Smith always used to say, you know, you want to give it about 18 months before you really want to try to evaluate her for anything on a long-term basis. I think it's still reasonable advice. So don't get too excited at 5 months. If at 5 years, you can say this exact same thing. Good. I agree with you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I totally agree. I know I follow Cappy. I follow you as well. Both give great advice. I just want guys to be like, hey, it's cool. Just chill out in our 20s and our 30s. Like I said, I'm 38 and it took me that long. Don't give up hope, guys. That's all I want to say.
I always say leave a line out there because there's nothing. I mean, you find the right gal. I mean, yeah, your life is going to be a lot better off with her than without her.
Yeah.
But I just the programming, like Chris, the previous caller, his entire life was not. I shouldn't say that or accuse him of that, but because he has one-itis, it's all about the woman. It's all about the girl. It's like, no, you have to go and live your own life and leave a line out there. I've dated a handful because they're rare, but there were some good gals, and I didn't realize sometimes what I had at that point in time. And thankfully, I wised up and appreciated the girl that I did get. But yeah, there are girls out there, and not to, you know, I think that's maybe a risk we run here in the Red Pill community. It's like, oh, they're all blah, 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 they're all bad. It's like, no, there's some, it can happen. It can happen, but not likely. Yeah, I got a book on numbers about it. I don't know. I just, the numbers are really low, but which only brings up their value. Like if you find a good gal, it's just all that much more valuable if you can find that one gal. So
one of the things that I'll often tell guys, Ben, and I want to recite it with you is this chick cannot be put on a pedestal. Like she can't think for a moment that she's irreplaceable, that she can only ever be your only source of intimacy and attention and love or anything like that. Without explicitly stating that, right? I mean, you have to kind of demonstrate it through your actions and your choices and the way you go about your life, because she wants to fight for you, right? I mean, like she wants to be in your frame. She wants to know that she's with the best that she can get. And as soon as she starts, the moment a woman wakes up and thinks, I got this guy wrapped around my finger, you're fucked.
Well, she'll find someone else. That's what happens.
All right, Ben. Hey, thanks, Ben.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. You have a great night.
Good to see you, Ben.
All right, Aaron, you sound
Rich,
like
you're... I'm dying, man.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you sound
like you're about done. So, okay, guys, before Aaron goes, grab his book. It's on Amazon. I'll have it pinned below in the top comment when I get off the cast. I've dropped it in the chat. I'll drop it again before the end of the show. Book of Numbers is a great read. It's a quick one. You can burn through it in a day. Thanks for joining me, Aaron.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Rich, and thanks for plugging me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'll do a couple more, about maybe another 20 minutes, and then we'll wrap up, and I'm going to head over to my Q&A. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, see you, Chief.
Let me see what I got here in the private chat here from you guys. Got some questions. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, I will not put on the same people every week. Don't worry. Relax. I got a Renji Lee. I'm going to bring you in, Renji.
Awesome.
All right. How you doing, man?
Very good to finally meet you. I can't believe I'm on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Just had a little quick question about like the idea of dependency. So besides, I'm right now I'm single, but besides this woman who I definitely had one-itis for at one point, I also have to take care of my my parents who have like a bit of a medical condition. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask, you know, what would you recommend for a single man in his 20s who's also got other baggage, especially from like an Asian culture, having respect for your parents, taking care of them is really important. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Thanks.
You're asking if it's okay to be taking care of your parents? Like in what context are we dealing with?
Well, like as in like palliative care. And I guess my question is more of like, how can you manage having decent relationships or hookups with women while at the same time having this long-term baggage that you have?
Yeah. I'm assuming you live with them full time.
Sorry?
And I'm assuming that you live with them full time?
I bought the house and I have one of my parents living with me.
Do you have like private quarters in the house, like a West Wing or something? I mean, I'm just exaggerating, but I mean like
basement, bedroom, yeah, basement kind of.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean like you can still run some game there. It's just, you know, you're always going to have that overarching, you know, well, my mom lives upstairs or my dad lives upstairs or whatever, because I take care of them. It's going to be, I mean, a lot of women will look at it as like a detriment. It's not going to be like, oh, you've got, you know, three kids and you're divorced or anything like that. But it's, you know, it's going to be a liability. Like women are solipsistic. They have a hard time seeing past their own nose. So you're going to be passed on by some of them just, you know, just because of that scenario. Who cares? You know, there's some decent chicks out there that'll look at it like, oh, that's sweet sort of thing, you know? So mm-hmm. I would just keep doing what you're doing. Like who really cares what these women think is what it boils down to at the end of the day. You do you, you make yourself your own mental point of origin. If you want to take care of your folks, you do that, right?
Most definitely. It's very important to me. I have one more question. Do you mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically there was this girl I had one-itis for, and honestly, I did believe that she was the one. I thought that she was like the soulmate kind of situation. Mm-hmm. In the end, something didn't work out where her parents wouldn't agree with my race or culture. And mm-hmm. so therefore, like, think about like Israel and Palestine, like two cultures that traditionally don't get along.
Yeah.
And because of that situation, we definitely split apart. Just wanted to ask, how does one person move on past the things that we cannot control? Thanks.
I think the best way to handle that, if I'm being honest, is there's going to be oil and water scenarios when you're out there dating all the time, you know, because of cultural reasons, race, religion, whatever. You should kind of look for that when you're getting into it. Like one of the things that I started doing at some point was I started to realize, I mean, if I want to have an LTR, I don't want to get involved with a chick that's a firstborn. I'm a firstborn. I married a firstborn. I'm very familiar with birth order. I've read Dr. Kevin Lehman's books on birth order and how it affects. It's something worth looking at, you know, if you're interested in that level of psychology, because firstborns will always do better with lastborns on a long-term basis. Ideally for me, I would look for a chick that's a lastborn that's got older brothers that are strong, masculine, you know, virtuous kind of dudes, and she's got a good relationship with her father, right? So you want to get clear on that. I mean, if you're Israeli, you probably don't want to date a Palestinian if there's going to be conflict between your family, sort of thing. So you kind of plan from that from the get-go, so you don't have to deal with, you know, the extra layer of, like, when I tell guys to avoid dating single moms because women without children are better, and then women lose their shit. It's like, okay, well, there's like, where is the lie, you know, within that? It's like, you're inviting extra layer of drama and extra layer of complexity into your life as a man. It's the same sort of thing if you're going to invite a woman into your life that comes from a conflicting cultural background or a conflicting religious background. Can you do it? Yeah, you can date a single mom, but you're going to have extra layers of complexity in your life. It's the same thing if you date somebody that's going to do that because of cultural conflicts or whatever, right? Make sense?
Makes 100% sense. I just wanted to ask, like, the idea of traditional women, I think, like, I rarely see that these days. I'm young, you know, I'm mid-20s. I get out, I'm, you know, in the city of Toronto. So, like, I do see a lot of people, but the whole idea of traditionalism is gone. And it's kind of sad. Like, all the people that I think, like, are good choices for marriage are not there. So, like, what are your thoughts on traditionalism or marriage?
So let's make this the last question. So,
thank you.
Marriage is stupid, obviously. I mean, I've talked about it. I don't know if you've read my book. Have you gone through it?
I haven't. I have the audiobook, but I only got the first chapter, like the red flags one.
Oh, okay. The audiobook will be out probably by the spring. It should be out soon, but if you don't want to wait for it, I've got a chapter in the print book on marriage and why it's a bad idea for men. It'd take me way too long to explain it, but I'll leave that at that. But in Toronto, like, I get it because I live here. I've dated in the city. It's basically a liberal shithole now. You know, like, a lot of women, when you meet them, they're very, like, toxic feminism, in my view, makes women anti-femininity, right? Like, they're not feminine anymore.
Yeah.
They don't want to look feminine. They don't want to take on conventional feminine roles. They don't want to support your purpose. And they just bring, like, these bad, nasty attitudes. If I was a young guy that had the ability to maneuver, I know you're looking after your parents, I would leave the city. You probably don't have that option because you're taking care of family. So you're just going to have to dig through a lot of dirt. Right. I mean, you're going to go through a lot of dirt and you're going to, you know, spin the plates and you're going to date them and you're going to be like, all right, this one's not a good use of my time. You know, this one just took off on her own. You know, this one's, I'm just not going to, you know, I'm just going to ghost her ass, whatever. It's like, you just kind of go through all the motions and you're going to find yourself, you're probably going to find yourself, you know, going through the stats that Aaron did, you know, with the book of numbers and realize that it's not a good use of your time. So I wouldn't put that much focus on it. You know, if I'm being honest with you, I would do your thing, you know, build your business, find out, you know, what your purpose in life, if you haven't find it and do that and date. Like, I'm not saying don't date, but if you happen to find a chick that is a good fit, then explore that. But in the meantime, just focus on yourself first and let it happen if it happens. How old are you?
26.
Oh, dude, you shouldn't even be thinking of marriage right now. start to look at, like, you know, if you want to have kids, 32, 33, maybe 35. This is nothing that you want to think about right now.
Awesome.
It shouldn't even be on the radar screen.
I just wanted to say, big fan of the show. Thank you for doing what you do. The amount of value you provide is very great for a lot of us men. I'm sure we all appreciate you. And because of this, I'm actually looking to do a private session with you. So thank you for having me. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks, brother. See ya. Let me grab this super chat. By the way, guys, if you disagree, feel free to click the join link and hop on the show and disagree with me live and let's see what you got. Alexander says, Rich, I'm 24, 6'6", LTR with a 7 for 3 years and 2 years living together. She's little to no drama, knows I don't want to get married in the future. In my frame, your thoughts from experience. What's the question in that? It sounds like you're 20. Well, what are you doing with a long-term relationship at 24? I'll tell you this, at 34, at 44, you're going to regret wasting your 20s with one chick that's a seven. That's my thoughts on that experience. I'll leave it at that. Al Smith says, yo, Rich, does a woman pay attention to what kind of car you drive? Yeah, absolutely. What's going through her head when she looks at what you drive? Is it a factor? Women are weird when it comes to cars. I'll tell you this. So I said this a number of years ago when I was driving BMW M cars. I've had an M3. I've had two M3s, actually. I've had an M5. And they can't tell the difference between an M5 and a basic bitch 5 Series. They can't. As long as they see the BMW roundel on the steering wheel and on the hood, the M5 looks a little bit different in her eyes, but it's not like we see it as men. Like, we see a 700 horsepower tuned car on big 21 inch wheels and big fat exhaust tips. They don't see that. They just see the badge and like, oh, that's a German car. It costs a lot of money. He has financial resources. I like him better than the Hyundai guy. That's how they look at it, in my view. Let's see here. I'll do one more question. I got like 10 minutes and then I'm doing Q&A for my community. So, let's see here. Mohammed, I haven't pulled you on yet. You've been waiting a while. So here you go, bro. Just unmute yourself.
Hello.
Good. You can hear me,
correct?
Yep. What's shaking?
Nothing. So I'm actually 17 years old and, I just came out of the whole toxic black pill community thing that my friend took me in, and I found you through them actually, so they're actually helping you. But I'm just so I'm about to turn 18. And about
hang on a second, you found me through a black pill community, because they usually don't speak well of me. So are they talking shit about me, or are they speaking about watching my stuff?
Oh, they talk shit about you constantly, and
of course, yeah,
And see,
I always laugh because I'm like, they're doing free marketing for me, so keep talking shit about me because you send guys like this over to me.
I mean, like, it's true though. It is. But anyways, I just don't like to give them any attention because I left them. But so I'm about to turn 18 and I had no experience with any woman at all. I don't have any money right now. I actually got fired from my last, well, not fired, but laid off because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And basically, and my grades, they're not that good. They're like C average right now. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I don't know what I can really do, because like, I can't, like, I, you know, like, I'm kind of stuck. And I don't
really
know.
Well, I mean, like, the first thing is you can't really formulate the question that you want to ask. So let's start with this. So you're 17, 18, you said?
17 right now, but I'll turn 18 in about a month.
Okay. And when you talk to your folks about this, like, let's say you talk to your dad, what does he say?
He just tells me that I should just try my best this last semester to try to get like a B average so I have options.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question. So what sent you into the black pill? Like, why did you enter that community?
I was talking to my crush at a time. It was in sophomore year, and I was talking to my crush, and she pretty much never talked me back, and she always stayed with the asshole guys, and I didn't understand why. And my friend was also black pill at the time, and he's in the same grade as me, and he's still in the black pill, and he pretty much brought me into the whole community, and that's how I was in the black pill community.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you've got a bit of loser stink around you from that community still, right? And it's bound to happen, birds of a feather flock together. If you hang around with five people that like sulk and whine about life all day long, you're going to be the sixth. So you've just left that now, right? So now you're looking to level up. School doesn't matter that much. Like, I know to some families and to some cultures, school is very important. School, in my view, doesn't matter that much because you're a man. And the way they teach boys and men specifically in the school system, it's not useful to you, right? Like, men need to get out and do shit. So I know that you're probably getting pressure to get good grades and all that stuff, and that matters. Okay, fine, hear that. But at the end of the day, and the long story short, I was a C average student at best. Okay, teacher that I had in grade 8 stuck me in the vice principal's office for a week. I had my desk in the vice principal's office for a week. And they were basically telling me that you're a fucking idiot. You're never going to go anywhere in life if you don't get your stuff together and learn how to focus and get good grades. And, you know, here I am making millions of dollars at, you know, the age of 30 running my own business. So, you know, that was like obviously 17, 18 years ago. So grades don't matter that much. So let me tell you that to start with. As far as leveling yourself up, yeah, there's work that you got to do in yourself. I mean, if you look at your image, you know, guys would tell you in the chat right now, you know, clean yourself up, get some style, like the Christmas sweater with the trees on it. That's got to go. You know, you got to fix the haircut and get a look, right? You know, you got to get that style going for yourself and build that confidence. Of course you want to be with women. You're a guy. Why wouldn't you want to be with women? Why wouldn't you want to talk to women? Why wouldn't you want to have them reciprocate? Why wouldn't you want to be intimate with them? You're a guy. It's only natural. That's why you're here on the planet, to scatter seed. The problem is that you've probably heard the just be yourself narrative, right? I mean, you said something about, you know, just trying, I think is what your dad said, like just trying, you know, trying your best.
Mm-hmm. He said that I should try to do my best, totally get like an 85 average.
Okay. Well, trying your best, well, 85 average is a pretty high average.
Yeah,
it is. That's like right up there. That's like right in the world, you know, like in the world class category. Okay. So, you know, he's setting a fairly high standard. You just have to level up in all areas of your life. I mean, you can grab my book on Kindle. It's $7. You know, it's about as cheap as you can get it. And I break down everything that you need to know. I mean, if you're looking, you know, to interact with women, there's chapters in there that cover the dynamics of what works and what doesn't work and what area of work you're going to need to do, you know, for yourself. But hey, listen, man, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're watching this. And I'm glad that you abandoned, you know, the loser talk. And you're at least somewhere where people talk about doing some work on yourself, because that's what is required of men, you know, to get something out of their lives, is to double down on themselves, do some work and level up. It's incumbent on you.
Yeah, that is true. I just have a, like, my main question, and this is like the only question, because I don't want to hold you from the Q&A, of course. But my main question is that right now, basically, as like a, about to be 18-year-old that has no money and that can't get a job right now, what should be my number one priority to actually level up in my progress to become like an actual successful man?
Well, looks, money, status. Those are the three main things. And you're not at the top of your game on any of that. Right. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the absolute best version that you could be and 1 being the worst, where would you rate yourself right now?
1.
Okay. So you got lots of work to do in those three areas. What do you want to focus on? Doesn't matter to me. Just start. Start by doing some push-ups every day. You know, if your cardio sucks, then go for long walks, run. You know, if your style's not good, which it does need improvement, you know, work on that. You know, have a look, right? Like, you're a black man, find a black guy that looks like you and then follow the style or look that, you know, that can work for your face shape, you know, for your hair, for your physique and all that. Right. And then you just keep doubling down on that until you look in the mirror one day and you just get out of the shower and you're like, I'm a sexy bitch. I'd hit that. Right. That's when you're the 10. So you have to do all that work to get to that though, unfortunately, because we're guys, you know, women just have to get up in the morning and look pretty. Men have the burden of performance, looks, money, status. That's what women want. And when you do those things, you'll be beating these women off you with a stick.
Got it, man. I appreciate so much. I'm gonna leave. I'm just all leaving right. With like one last quote, basically.
Go.
You can't spell woman without man, but you can spell man without woman. And right. I think that's like one of the greatest quotes that I've ever heard, because it's true. But I appreciate you. Take all care. Right.
Thanks, man. See ya. That sounds like something that was picked up from the Black Pill community. It's true, though. Let's see here. We've got A Knight of Camelot became a YouTube member. Welcome, son. What is up? We got Chris. Start looking into trade work. Graduate and pursue excellence in that trade. Trade work is one way to go. That's not necessarily the way to go. You can make some good money in the trade still. So. Yeah, I wouldn't discount it. It's just that there's a lot to look at. And at 18, you don't really, like, the dude's a 1 out of 10. He's rating himself right now a 1 out of 10. He's got a lot of work that he can do. He's got a lot of work. Ricky B says, get a license and learn to drive professionally, working your way up to CDL. Low cost of entry and experience increases your earning potential. Yeah, you can make a lot of money doing that. I know a few guys that are in that. We've had a good show, guys. It's been 90 minutes. So I'm going to wrap her up on that note. I'm going to head over to Zoom and run my private community call. So if you're on the YouTube membership at the second tier or higher, there's a Zoom link already on the community tab. You'll be able to see, you can click that and join through. You can join us tonight. I'll probably be on for another 90 minutes doing some private Q&A there for the group. So I want to thank you guys for watching. Before I go, real quick, over my shoulder, I've got the channel sponsor, which I always must shout out to, Tactical Soap, Grondike Soap Company. Below, you go to coopersoap.com. I'll leave the link in the pinned top description with Aaron's book. If you want to get into the other stuff over there, like my own personal community or books that I recommend, or grab my book, it'll all be there. But you guys are showering anyway, so considering grabbing some tactical soap or beard oil if you're a gentleman with a nice beard. It's always great to get some support for the guys that help run these shows. Hang on, I missed a couple super chats here. Let me grab a few of these before I go real quick. Chris said, forgot to mention I signed up for your community. Rich, just waiting for approval on the Facebook group. I'll get you in there ASAP, Chris. Let me just get off the show and I'll get you approved, and then you can hop onto the Q&A afterwards if you want to. So thanks for that. Got it all. Okay, let's wrap it up on that note. Thanks for watching, guys. Grab Aaron's book. He's a good guy. He's got some really good books on Amazon. He's an author that I'll always recommend. So check it out if you want to get into the book of numbers. It really just shows you how low the ROI is on chasing women. So you'll get it when you get it. We'll see you guys in the next cast. I'll be back next Monday. I'm going to be doing call-in Q&As always at the end of every show now. So if you have a question that comes up during the week, you want to ask a question, young, old, man, woman, please come on the show, ask the question live. Let's get into it. We'll see you guys.